Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, children of all ages.
And especially you, fat, sweaty wrestling fans. This bout has a 30-minute time limit.
This contest is set for one fall.
Seriously, why even say one fall? It's always one fall.
Oh, you didn't know?
Welcome to Shoot Radio, the only pro wrestling show that threatens its fans with figure five leg locks, triple axe handles, and large packages. Wait, what?
Woo, woo, woo. You know it.
Let's move on. Now introducing the tag team champions from the not-so-mean streets of suburban Toronto. This is The Chris. And his partner. And yes, I mean partner like that. From the well-landscaped subdivisions of suburban Chicago, it's Johnny P. Get ready, wrestling fans, to sit through this utterly ridiculous gimmick match known simply as Shoot Radio.
Hi everyone, this is the Chris. I know it's been way too long since we've released a new episode of Shoot Radio. We said all along that we were going to do these in seasons and take a break, but I don't think Johnny and I had planned to take quite this long a break, and I'll put it on me right now and say it's largely my fault. My real life work schedule got really, really busy during the fall, and just podcasting was one of those things that kind of had to drop off, so forgive me for that if you would, but what we've done, and it's something, again, it took longer to organize than we'd wanted, but we've arranged a few of these. I don't know who came up with it, I think it was Johnny, but we've called it Lumber Shoots, where we've had some people from the listening audience write in and say that they'd like to come on and share some opinions, so I guess these won't count as, you know, a new season or anything, but it's just something that we'll do once in a while, and just have sort of as a bonus episode to get some thoughts from people within the community about stuff we've talked about or even stuff we hadn't talked about. We've recorded two so far. The first one was with a guy that's local to me, a guy named Trevor, and he goes by RateNef on Twitter. That's at RateNef. And we got on and we solicited people for new topics, and something that Trevor wanted to talk about was wrestlers in media other than wrestling programming, so things like TV, movies, and stuff like that. So we sat down with Trevor for about half an hour, had a great discussion, and it's probably a topic that we're going to visit at some point in a future season. So in terms of future seasons, as I'm recording this, it's December 23rd, and the Christmas craziness is about to start. So once that's all died down and the new year starts and everything's kind of back to normal, Johnny and I are going to be recording new episodes and releasing Shoot Radio Episode Season 2. So, again, sorry for the prolonged hiatus, but never fear. New episodes of Shoot Radio are going to come soon, and we're going to start off with Lumber Shoot. We've got another one in the can. We talked to a guy by the name of Taylor. He's a brother of one of Johnny's friends, and I'm going to try and get that edited up to release between Christmas and New Year's. So enjoy this first Lumber Shoot, and for everyone that's listening, have a great Christmas and New Year's, and we'll talk to you more very soon. Okay, this is the Chris. I'm here with Johnny P. And
what up? I had to overshadow. That's what I do.
That's right. That's what you do. And with Trevor, and this is the first, Johnny just kind of threw the name out there. We're calling this Lumber Shoot.
Wait, you're pushing that on me? You came up with that crappy name.
No.
Where does the term come from?
Well, it's kind of like a lumberjack match, but with, you know, Shoot Radio.
So we're bringing people in via Skype, and they're pushing us back in the ring to talk once we leave? Is that, I don't understand the correlation with lumberjack. So explain, Chris, where this ridiculous name came from.
Well, I would know if I was the one that came up with it, Johnny.
I would have never said Lumber Shoot.
Yeah, okay. So, Trevor, welcome to the show. Welcome.
I feel bad. I'm not wearing flannel and drinking maple syrup and eating pancakes.
That's okay. Well, you could participate anyway.
That's right.
I have to go grind my axe later.
Ooh, sounds personal.
So, Trevor, tell us a bit about your background in terms of being a wrestling fan.
Well, back in the early 80s, my great-grandmother used to love watching wrestling with her great-grandchildren and just had a great hootin' time with it. And, of course, I just happened to be young enough to completely buy into the whole premise of wrestling. And it wasn't probably around the time I was 13 or so, like early 80s, was when Saturday Night's Main Event started happening. And I really started getting in, well, it because that was the first time I remember seeing wrestling on television other than Calgary Stampede Wrestling, which was, my God, was that bad. With the WWF stars. And it used to be a big thing, like Saturday Night Live. You'd go to watch Saturday Night Live. It's like, oh, it's wrestling tonight. Oh, cool. Because I never knew what the schedule was for when Saturday Night's Main Event was going to show up or not.
That was,
so it was always, that always was, kind of a treat. And then, of course, wrestling became a Saturday afternoon thing with WWF with the hour-long show every weekend.
I love hearing about people that watch wrestling with their grandmothers because it's so often a father or an uncle or some kind of older male relative. And so you said your great grandmother?
I think it was my great grandmother. Yeah.
That's awesome. So like, was she a fan like in and around Toronto? So would she have been like a Whipper Billy Watson fan back in the day?
Well, I wouldn't know who she actually followed because I think she carried wrestling to my brother who then carried it to me. Cause oh, okay. I have little or no recollection of the poor lady, rest her soul. But, I know for certain, like, she probably would have been, like, ever since the heyday of wrestling with like, the early black and white television matches or going to, you know, like, small I remember going as a teenager to, like, remember when you see the billboards on the telephone poles around the town and there's, like, some sort of wrestling thing going on and you show up and there's, like, folding chairs and a ring and, you know, maybe, you know, 150 people.
150, that's lofty.
And, you know, and you've got like, you know, some people you have no idea who you are, who they are, and they're out there wrestling, and it's just you know, it's growing up in Owen Sound, I didn't have the exposure to all of the larger events, so seeing that kind of wrestling was about pretty much a, you know, big week for Trevi. But
and do you remember seeing anybody that at the time was a nobody but went on to notoriety?
I don't remember seeing them necessarily as before they became famous. I think I remember seeing them more in the waning of their career.
That's just as fun.
who was the guy who used to have the claw? The big German bald guy who
Baron
used to,
von Raschke.
There oh, yeah. you go. That was he was the thing. I think he was the mainliner at the event that I went to. And, you know, it was amazing that he could spit out of his nose.
On purpose.
He literally gets into the ring and he just goes sort of this, you know, thing, and then it comes out his, you know, he spits, but it comes out his nose. I have no idea how he did that. It's like, okay, that's a tough guy right there, right?
And I don't want to wrestle him either.
No, I definitely don't want to get near him. And have the claw. Yes. Good old days. And then, of course, I used to follow wrestling up until about the time that on and off through high school pretty heavily, and then university sort of waning off. About the time that the WWF became the WWE and the whole merger between them and the WCW and the whole, you know, Shawn Michaels and the boys becoming X, you know, Generation X and all that, the X Nation, that was when I basically started falling out of wrestling. And then I haven't really been in wrestling since. As I mentioned to you in a post, I happened to catch that one thing on Spike that I'd never heard of until you guys mentioned it, and I went, wow, it brought me back to like Calgary Stampede Wrestling.
What, did you watch TNA Wrestling?
No, I don't think it was TNA. What's the other one? Oh, Heroes of the Ring of Honor. Ring of Honor, that's it, yeah.
Oh, nice.
It was kind of neat because it was, as Chris alluded to in the conversation we had about it, if they had more panache, like more of a budget, it definitely would have been, you know, like really early WWF kind of stuff when WWF was starting to pick off. But it doesn't have that budget yet, so it still has a, I don't know, it seems hokey, but, you know, well-intentioned.
It's a nice throwback kind of federation, though, if you want to get some of that, you know, not... You're not going to have all, you know, the pyro and all the over the top stuff, but you get some, you know, good technical wrestling. You get some, you know, different kind of promos, and yeah, not all of it is great, but it's also kind of cool in a way, a bit of a minor league for some stars that, you know, you may see now, like for example, you know, in the current time right now, 2012, CM Punk, Daniel Bryan, all of these Ring of Honor alums are doing quite well for themselves.
Exactly. So, Trevor, you had messaged us with some topics that you wanted to talk about. Why don't you go into that, and we can have a conversation about that.
Well, when you had mentioned you'd put out a request for, you know, sort of throw in topics, you know, so, you know, here we are. I'm throwing you back over the ropes because I'm the lumberjack.
Nice.
The first thing that came to mind is one of my favorite movies of all time is John Carpenter's They Live.
Oh, nice.
I don't know if you've seen John Carpenter's They Live. It's a campy horror film. But specifically, it stars Rowdy Roddy Piper. According to Wikipedia, it's the third movie he ever starred in, and he's starred in a lot more movies than I thought he did. But what was notable about that fact is that they used the fact that he was a wrestler in the movie, not because his character was a wrestler. His character was just a journeyman construction worker who stumbles upon an alien plot to invade, or having already invaded the world. But him and Keith, I can't remember his last name. Black guy with a very noticeable deep voice. I think he played Hawk on Vegas. Hmm. So
wow, played... you're pulling. You spent a little too much time on IMDb.
No, it's not the guy who played Cisco. So it's not Hawk. Anyways, nonetheless, they have a big fight in an alleyway where he's trying to convince the guy to put on these sunglasses to see the aliens, and the guy's got nothing to do with it, but. It's probably the only street fight I've ever seen in a movie that had, like, belly to belly suplex and throwing the guy over and possibly about 22 shots to the groin. It's just ridiculous because you know full well that they decided they wanted a street fight and they went, hey, we got a professional wrestler here. Let's just take this to the limit. And I remember the first time I watched it, having been a big fan of Roddy Piper because he is Canadian, just laughing it up, thinking this is absolutely preposterous but quite entertaining at the same time. So that just made me think about other instances of wrestling in media that isn't actual just wrestling itself. And then the next thing that comes to mind is the video for the Goonies, where the song for the Goonies that Cyndi Lauper did, where it's Roddy Piper and Captain Lou Albano and I think Nikolai Volkov.
Volkov and the Sheik are in there. There's like a
whole
plot to it.
And it's like a bad Scooby-Doo episode where they're kind of like chasing each other around, but they're doing it with the, you know, hands up, tiptoeing kind of, you know, mocking walking or whatever. And it's the bad guys are chasing after the good guys, I think. And it's just, oh no, the bad guys are chasing after the kids, I think. I don't think any of the good wrestlers are in it. But it's just another example of wrestling and how it in the 80s, I don't know if people realize just how ubiquitous wrestling was.
Yeah.
Because I watched just the other day, I watched the movie Gremlins 2, having not seen it. My kids wanted to watch it because we watched Gremlins. And it breaks the fourth wall in the movie where basically the Gremlins get into the projector booth and screw up the movie. And this usher goes down into the audience and asks Hulk Hogan to fix the problem. And so Hogan turns around and goes, guys, put the movie back on. Yeah, and he tears off his shirt in the typical Hulkamania style and all that. And what struck me about that is the fact that if you were to take the same kind of approach today with a modern wrestler, I don't think and maybe it's just me not being in the zeitgeist of the common people, but you could take the number one wrestler in the WWE today, put him in the same kind of a role, and I wouldn't know he's a wrestler.
I know what you're saying. It's kind of funny too that they're going to ask Hulk Hogan for help, almost some foreshadowing into him having something to do with a sex tape later on. You know?
Oh God! Wow, you went there.
I had to. I don't have many opportunities to bust that out, and plus he'll probably end up working at a movie theater at some point in his life. You know, maybe when he's 70.
Got to pay the bills, man.
That's right. You got to pay his wife's bills, too. But yeah, I kind of get what you're saying. You know, in the 80s, it was almost like things were still considered cheesy back then, but not quite the same as we would look at something today and just blatantly laugh at it, you know, such as like, you know, mullets we make fun of, or Zubaz pants, you know, these kind of styles. But like when you were a wrestler back then, it was like, oh, what's Hulk Hogan going to do? And people still use those same terms like, oh, Mean Gene, what, you know, and these kind of 30-year-old terms. And you're right. Like, would that happen today? Would you see John Cena in the same type of in a movie, you know, in that type of scenario? And probably not. Now, then again, WWF, now WWE, has come such a long way that, well, they've got their own motion picture company, essentially, WWE Studios, and they're just going to push those out with their superstars in it, almost as in, no, we're not going to relegate them to comic relief. This will actually be something that, you know, we're going to put out and distribute, such as, what was it, like the Marine? Was that the movie with Cena?
I think Marine number 3 right now with The Miz.
Yeah.
Oh, God.
Well, they were going to use Randy Orton.
But these are direct-to-video, right? They're no way in shape or form are being shown in any movie theater.
I think the first Marine, I think the first one was. I think the first Marine was, at least here in the States, it was.
It was under limited release, and any movie that Triple H is in always has a limited theatrical release, but pretty much all the rest are straight to DVD.
Is that part of his deal?
Well, I mean, the guy's the boss, so, I mean, go fig.
Yeah.
But I still think to this day, the most profitable one they had was, I think it was the first one that WWE Films did, was the See No Evil horror movie with Kane.
Oh.
Why do you say that's most successful when many people haven't even heard of that?
I think it's just a fact in terms of box office receipts and revenue.
Compared to No Holds Barred? Are you kidding me?
I still remember the weekend after No Holds Barred came out, like back in the 80s, I remember, like, I mean, talk about the classic oversell. I remember watching WWF Superstars on Saturday afternoon, like Trevor said, and it was Gorilla Monsoon and Bobby Heenan on commentary. And the two of them, I mean, talk about shills. They just are sitting there, and Heenan's saying, he's like, I tried to get a ticket to go see No Holds Barred. They were lined up around the block. I couldn't even get a ticket. And then without even pausing for a second, Gorilla Monsoon says, and I hear for Hulk Hogan, there's Oscar buzz. Where, I mean, I don't know for sure, but
that's awesome.
Willing to bet in any city you wanted to go to where that was actually showing No Holds Barred, you could have got a ticket opening day.
That's pretty funny. Wasn't there a pay-per-view right after that movie where it had Hogan and Zeus against each other in a cage? Like, didn't they?
Yeah,
they
did two pay-per-views with Zeus.
So talk about, you know, that's actually pretty major to have a movie based around, you know, this larger-than-life WWF superstar, and then have that translate right back into the same world that he's known in, and kind of, in a way, it's really smart, especially for that, you know, what was that, like 88, 89? You know, back then, thinking, okay, we're going to take this, and whether it's a hit or a flop, we don't care. We're going to take it all and try to grab some of those movie fans and turn them back into, or turn them into wrestling fans by making a pay-per-view with this guy Zeus, who's not even a wrestler.
Yeah, good old Tiny Lister, who I think is actually in jail now for tax evasion.
Wow.
But
many remember him as Debo in the Friday movies.
Yeah, and he's in Dark Knight Returns, too.
Oh, is he in there?
He was, remember when they're on the boat?
And yes, he's the big guy who goes over and takes the button thing away from the little weak business guy who's mouthing off about it. And he takes it, and you figure this guy's a mean convict. He's going to blow up the boat. He tosses it out the window.
He's really good at that big black eye roll.
Well, he's got the one eye that points the wrong way, right?
Yeah, he does. He's got the dead eye. But yeah, that No Holds Barred, that was a really interesting phenomenon, because they actually, like Johnny said, they actually did that movie and then built a pro wrestling storyline and got two pay-per-views out of a guy that could really do nothing in the ring. But they did such a good job of promoting it. Like, they had wrestling fans believing, like, holy crap, this guy's actually a monster.
Right. And
they booked him smart, though, because I think the first pay-per-view, it was never a singles match. The first pay-per-view, it was, if I'm remembering correctly, it was Hogan and Beefcake against Macho Man and Zeus in a tag match. And Macho Man would go in and do all the
the heavy lifting, like get all the heat.
Yeah.
And then he tagged Zeus in, and Zeus basically was limited to like punching and a bear hug was, I think, the two things that he did in the match. But they just did such a good job in the weeks leading up to it of just booking this guy as immortal. Cause I think there was one point where Hogan hit him with a chair or something like that.
Nothing, and he didn't. I remember that. Yeah, you're totally right. That happened. It was like, oh my God, like he's not human. And you know, to this
and to
day,
Hogan's credit, he sold it. Like he stood there mouth agape, like fear in his eyes.
Well, he wanted a no holds barred part two. So he's going to do anything, right?
For sure. But for all the knocks that Hogan takes, I mean, yeah, he always won in the end. But I mean, in general, he got like in the, and that's how you get sympathy on a baby face, which seems to be lost for the large part in what you see on TV today. But I mean, he would get demolished for weeks at a time until that final confrontation.
Well, he knew he'd win in the end, though, so he didn't care as long as he came out on top. And that's what he's always proven over the years.
But exactly. But I mean, if he would have just, you know, rubbed the heel out every time he got close to him.
No, well, that's not really how it worked, especially back then. But he knew in the end, no matter what, he's going to come out on top. Even later on in his career when he, you know, pop up and pin Yokozuna to win the belt and not even his match. I mean, he did these ridiculous things later on where it's just like, oh, there's Hogan being, you know, above the law, so to speak. And so I get what you're saying. I'm not going to give him any credit back then for that because he knew that the payoff was going to be so much better than if he were to, you know, have it booked with him beating up the heel.
So what are some other memories that you have, Trevor, of wrestlers in other media? Like They Live was a great example. That fight scene is unlike any other you'll see in a movie.
And it's quite fun. But the other one that I was thinking of as well around that same time is the infamous Thunder Lips.
Yeah.
Which Rocky 2.
Three, right? Yeah.
Was it 3? I thought it was 2.
No, it was the one with Mr. T, which was 3. The first two.
That's right. The first two still had it was the rematch for 2.
Yeah.
Anyways, when basically it's the promotion thing when, and I like how they sold it in the movie, if I remember correctly, is that Stallone meets the Thunder Lips. You know, apparently there was some reason why they didn't call him Hogan. Probably because they wouldn't pay the WWF whatever they wanted. And he meets him. He seems like a nice general guy and all that. And then they get in the ring and he becomes this like insane guy. And I remember Rocky like, what's going on, man? Oh, no, in the ring, he's a nut. And the whole, you know, Hogan lifts up, you know, Stallone, who's all like 5'2" and slams him down. And then the big thing is the typical Rocky turnaround where he ends up picking up Hogan and, you know, throwing him out of the ring or whatever. And you know, as if that wasn't done with wires. But just, and again, it goes back to the fact that Hogan was such this presence at that time that everybody knew who it was, even though he had a different, you know, name in the movie. Everybody knew, oh yeah, that's the professional wrestler Hogan. And I remember when Hogan started, he always, or at least I remember the story being that he always fought handicap matches because he was too big and he couldn't, any one guy couldn't go against him, kind of thing.
Is that something that he, early in
his career,
like WWWF days, where he went?
Well, that would have been AWA, even, I think.
Okay,
probably, yeah. Before he went into the WWF proper, but I remember it always
wrestling as Sterling Golden.
But other than that, I just keep thinking of all the people who, like, if you look at The Rock, right? He was a, you know, big wrestler, really big and all that, and then he sort of starred in The Mummy 2, kind of.
Yep.
But from that got an entire other movie, the Scorpion King.
Yep.
And I think when you look at wrestlers that have been in movies, I mean, Hogan, even though he was a household name, more so than any other professional wrestler up until the mid-80s, I think, you know, he was always a wrestler that was in movies. I think The Rock is the only guy that you can legitimately say has crossed over from being a wrestler to an actor.
Well, no, he's an actor. I honestly, you know, he plays the foil rather well, or the, you know, with the, you know, Tooth Fairy and stuff like that. But
But he also quit wrestling.
He's an actor who's, I think he's been an actor all along. He's just now he's an actor in movies as opposed
He's an actor who used to be a wrestler as opposed to Hogan, who's a wrestler that's been in some movies.
But Hogan's never quit though. See, The Rock quit to say, I've done everything. I'm going to become an actor. Hogan's always done it on the side. So even though, yes, The Rock is better, of course, at you know, in acting and those kind of things, Hogan always treated it as a secondary thing.
I don't think that's correct because, I mean, he always wanted to get into movies and have that be his main gig. And Hogan's even – I've heard interviews with Hogan where he said the one thing that he wishes he could have accomplished in his career was to have that big hit movie. Because I think to this day, in terms of Hogan as the marquee star, I think No Holds Barred was the movie that did the best, and that was a – you know, lukewarm success at best. I think every other theatrical release he did, like Suburban Commando and Mr. Nanny and Santa with Muscles.
Well, he had, remember that TV show he had? Was it
Thunder in Paradise?
See, here's the thing with Hogan though, because of his ego and his, you know, in my opinion, his greed, he never wanted to actually go through the ups and downs that a real actor is going to go through to stick it out and possibly get a shot at a legit career. He always came back to wrestling. And The Rock, I mean, he didn't really, I mean, yeah, he might come back for an appearance, but for the most part, he's like, no, this is what I'm doing now, whether it's Tooth Fairy or something that's, you know, really good or whatever. It's just
Fast and the Furious.
Yeah. I mean, Hogan didn't do that. He always came back to wrestling every couple of years. He came back with something. And it's like, if you really want to quit and be taken as something else seriously, well, you have to let people forget about you in that one role, which is wrestling.
Did you guys ever see the TV show? It was on in the 80s for a short while. It starred Lyle Alzado as a wrestler, and it was called Learning the Ropes.
Sounds familiar. Was it a TV show or a movie?
No, it was a TV show. It was a half-hour TV show, and they would have the basic plot was, I forget what his day job was. I think he was a teacher or something, but he was a professional wrestler at night.
Oh, right. Under
a mask. And I remember his daughter was... for all your other Canucks out there, his daughter was the same actress that played Stephanie on Degrassi Junior High.
Hey, I used to watch Degrassi too, and I'm not a Canuck, so.
That's true.
Yeah, actually, Degrassi is one of the most successful Canadian television exports,
making it 4 billionth overall.
I would say in sixth grade,
That's like saying it's, you know, the most popular non-porn site on the web.
No, that's not a big deal. Yeah. I think in like seventh grade, I was like, this Joey Jeremiah guy, that guy's my hero.
Like you just can see him walking around in Toronto. Like you'll see him at the mall. It's funny. But yeah, that Learning the Ropes show, I mean, it was so terrible. But I remember going out of my way to watch it because it was the only show that wasn't wrestling on TV that had wrestling on it, if that makes sense.
And well, what about the WWF cartoon? Come on now.
Yeah, rock Saturday and wrestling?
Morning cartoon, Benny.
I don't revise my statement.
Going to JYD in animated form. Come
That's
on.
Right. Hillbilly Jim and Good Guys Against Bad Guys in cartoon form. I love it.
Remember Iron Sheik had a car that actually had like the same headgear on the... It was like an open Jeep that had the same... I don't know what the correct word for it is, but the cloth headgear, it had that on the back.
I know what you're talking about. Well, yeah. You know what's funny? We're talking about wrestlers in other forms of media, notably movies and TV shows. And sure, there's Hogan. We can talk about Jesse Ventura with The Predator. And there's been...
Well, how about Jesse Ventura now with Conspiracy Theory?
Yeah, well, I mean, I'm a big fan of Jesse, both, you know, obviously as a wrestler and commentator, but I've read two of his books. I'm a big fan politically of his beliefs, followed him when he was in Minnesota. And so, yeah, I definitely enjoy him a lot. I think he's right on with most of his things. And now it's a show. It's kind of funny because on one hand he was a, you know, politician and kind of a, you know, outspoken about certain things. And now it's like, well, let's take some of these. We still have to make it a show that gets people to watch, but it still is Jesse and it's still interesting. So, yeah.
What I like about it is in the opening credits when he goes, you know, I was a Navy SEAL.
I know I
was
what you're going to say.
I was a fighter.
He didn't say wrestler.
He doesn't say he was a wrestler. No. He says, I was a fighter. It's awesome.
Yeah, that's true. Well, and then also look back, he spent some time, I mean, obviously with movies in the past we talked about, but when I was a fan of that short-lived XFL, that Extreme and I talk about that on our Zlurpcast show, and he was going to be the commissioner of it, right? It was or announcer. He was an announcer, I believe, of it.
He was a sideline announcer.
Yeah. So it's that kind of stuff. But something I want to bring up is, you know, we talk a lot about TV and movies because that's the easy, you know, medium that everyone's familiar with. But if you go to modern day, look at someone like Iron Sheik on interviews and YouTube interviews and Twitter and those kind of things, and how, you know, there's fake accounts and there's real ones. No one really knows certain things, and how he's kind of taken on a new identity, right? As just being this foul mouth guy on Twitter. I know there's the one, and a lot of them are fake accounts though, right, Chris?
I have a feeling a lot of them are not the Sheik, at least saying that. Like, I can't imagine that the Iron Sheik has any idea what Twitter is or how to use it. But
wouldn't he be like 70?
Yeah, and that's not to say that 70 can't use Twitter, but I mean, I know for a fact that there's these promoters that are in and around the Toronto area known as the Megan Boys. They're these twins, and any Iron Sheik appearance around here, you see them as his handlers. And I don't know this for a fact, but I'd be willing to bet that the Iron Sheik Twitter account that most people log into is the Megan Boys tweeting on the Iron Sheik's behalf.
It probably is. But here's the thing. You can watch Iron Sheik on shoot interviews, and he says things that are very similar to that. So in a way, it's almost like a character that someone could take over, much like a, you know, someone else could play Andy Kaufman's,
Tony Clifton.
Tony Clifton, you know what I mean? It's become this character where, yeah, these guys, I mean,
it's a caricature, really.
Right.
Well, he's a brand.
He totally is.
He's a brand. He's the Iron Sheik is a brand that can be managed like any other brand. Mm-hmm. And the nice part about the multimedia with the Twitter and Facebook and YouTube and all that is you can still have a huge presence and not have to worry like the wrestlers of the 60s who in the 80s were pretty much non-existent as far as the public was concerned, right? They were the old soldiers, but where were they at the time that the new guys were up and about? Now, look, the Iron Sheik hasn't wrestled in probably 20 years.
Well, like, he might make appearances, but you're right. Like actual
sadly, matches. It's a lot more recent than that.
Well, okay, but I'm thinking from the perspective of like with a wide audience. Like I'm thinking, he hasn't been in the WWF for
right.
25
he'll
years.
Go to like some like Juggalo Federation wrestling. He'll punch a guy. They'll oversell it and flip over the ring or something. And
he won the gimmick battle royal at WrestleMania 17. That was 2002.
Okay. Well, again, I've been out of wrestling for probably too long,
but that's kind of it's a good point though. The idea of, you know, wrestler, we talk about, you know, Hogan of yesteryear, The Rock, more modern times, but now, in a way, it's kind of like, it sounds kind of cheesy to say, but it's like the sky's the limit with what wrestlers want to do with their outside careers because of things like social media and YouTube that you can directly have control over your distribution and where you take it from there. Look at Zack Ryder. He basically made YouTube videos as a way for fans to get him to, you know, talk about him and get some actual heat going. Now he's on TV. It's pretty amazing about who knows what's going to happen with guys like CM Punk in 10 years and or 5 years. Are they going to be in movies and TV shows or do their own thing online?
Well, look at the Warrior. He's used the internet and such to affect. I won't necessarily say it's good or bad, but he's used it. Like he's, you know, people still know who the Warrior is and certainly know of his opinions. And heck, he had a bloody TV show there where he's waking up teenagers and, screaming at him to go exercise.
Did that ever get on TV?
I don't know, but they at least made a pilot.
So I watched the pilot.
That's a scary enough premise on its own.
And that pilot was fucking awesome. And I wanted to watch more of it. And I
never watched the whole pilot. I just watched the teaser trailer or whatever. And it's like, this guy is insane. I can understand he appreciates the benefits of you know, good health, but he's like a health Nazi.
Yeah, well, he's a warrior legally, so
it's one of his legal names, just like Meatloaf.
Right. So, was there anything else you wanted to kind of go over Trevor, as far as like wrestlers in media that we didn't really cover?
I think we touched on all the major points that I was thinking about. Is just the idea that especially in the 80s, where 80s and 90s, where it was so ubiquitous, it was all over the place. Like there was, as we said, the cartoon and the TV shows that were trying to emulate the wrestling lifestyle, and the fact that in movies they were fairly well known. Like Jesse Ventura, I think, was probably one of the first wrestlers who actually kind of made it as an actor, yep, as opposed to just a character in a movie. Because, you know, you think of him in Predator, you think of him in The Running Man, yep, and various other things he starred in where he was quite notable. And then, of course, he just carried that into being a governor. And
well, it's funny. You know, Jesse wasn't considered comic relief of those movies, whereas Hulk Hogan generally was. Even if he's the star, it's still like, it's freaking Hulk Hogan being.
Yeah, Hulk Hogan was just a caricature, whereas Jesse Ventura was an actual, full-fledged, interesting character.
Completely
agree. But Jesse also was never in, like, he was sort of in a bunch of Arnold Schwarzenegger movies, and he was never the star. It was, you know, Jesse doing an appearance in an Arnold Schwarzenegger movie, whereas Hogan, for whatever reason you want to cite, was, you know, billed as, you know, the top, like, you know, it was starring Hulk Hogan.
You're right.
But I think that goes back to what Johnny was saying, where Hogan may not have been willing to be second or third bill, and therefore that may have actually done him harm. Whereas we've seen with The Rock and we've seen with Ventura that they're quite comfortable, even Stone Cold Steve Austin. They're you know, they're not necessarily, they may be a major billing on it, but they're not the main character. They're an adjunct character or not necessarily a sidekick in the truest sense of the word, but they're willing to take risks as opposed to expecting, because they are a superstar in medium one, that they can completely carry that superstar over into medium two with the same clout and effect and value.
Yeah, you're totally right, Trevor, because I mean, look at prime example. The Rock hosted Saturday Night Live, and it was hilarious. Just about every sketch was funny. He's doing the monkey boy where he's eating the apple, and he's just, you know, some really funny stuff. And it's, come on, it's The Rock basically putting himself out there. He could have been laughed at, and he was on purpose, but not as, you know, it was a very humbling kind of thing. He's like, you know what, I'm just going to go out there and do my best with it. And people embraced it. Whereas Hogan, it's just like time and time again, it seems like he just does it wrong.
Well, Trevor, I want to thank you for taking the time to be on here. I'm not going to lie. I mean, we're mining for topics when we're doing these, and I can definitely see us going in depth on a future episode of Shoot Radio. So thanks for your insight and giving us some great ideas.
Well, what he's saying is he's going to use you for your topic and not really give you credits in a future episode.
It's not like he's getting paid, so I don't care.
Exactly.
I'll translate what he means by this.
And
this
he's got to edit this. So oh, whatever.
Yeah. Trevor.
Well, and I'm recording this.
Doing the heel turn on Johnny P.
I could make it real tough on Chris when he edits it, because I'm recording it right now. Maybe I hit some of these buttons. Well, who knows what these do?
Yeah, put that breathing back in.
Right. Yeah, but Trevor's recording it too. So,
good point. Yeah. So,
and if desperation comes, Chris can actually drive to my house and threaten me to get the recording, whereas it might be a little difficult to get to you. He's got to cross that international border, and, you know, that whole passport thing, after all.
So definitely thanks for coming on with us. We really enjoyed it. You are the first guest ever in the first ever Lumber Shoots on Shoot Radio. So that's an honor no one could ever take from you.
I am duly honored, and I do appreciate the reaching out to the fan base and including us, because if there's nothing else that podcasting brings forward, it's the fact that not only can a couple of guys shoot the shit about a topic that is, you know, sort of a cliche topic, but they can bring in other people to discuss that same cliche topic, and you don't have to worry about the whole production schedule or all that other stuff. You just find a time, you sit down, you gab for a couple hours, and you hope somebody listens to it and gives a shit.
You got it. If someone's listening, someone's listening out there right now, may want to join us for a future one. Shoot us an email at shootradioshow@gmail.com, and we could talk about it.
Shoot us an email. I see what you.
Oh, no, I did not even try for that, but I'll take it.
So, baloney.
All right, cool. Thanks a lot, Trevor. We will hopefully talk to you again. Maybe Lumber Shoot episode 2 one day.
Sounds cool.
All right. See you, man. Thanks.
Thanks, guys.
We'll be right back. You can find more great podcasts at lifestylepodnetwork.com.au.